Welcome to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs. This is my co-host, Natalie Bellini. And we have another exciting episode where we are at ADA Sci Sessions in San Diego, California. And for this episode, we're really fortunate to have Mark Heyman here with us. And so, Mark, if you wouldn't mind just introducing our listeners and viewers about yourself and what you do.
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Mark Heyman. People call me Dr. Mark or Mark or call me whatever you want to. But I'm a diabetes psychologist, and I focus my work on helping people with type 1 diabetes navigate the emotional roller coaster of living with diabetes. I do that a lot of ways. So I have a small private practice here in San Diego where I see patients. But really, my passion, my goal is to scale mental health support and services for people with type 1 diabetes. And we do that by, I have a podcast called the Live Free with T1D podcast. I post a lot on social media. And also I have digital programs to help people to have a guided pathway to bolster their emotional health and to feel better about themselves and type 1 diabetes.
Wow. That's incredible.
Awesome.
So do you see people across the country virtually? Do you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I'm licensed in California. Okay. I live here in San Diego, so I'm happy to be here right now. But because of my license, I'm only able to see people who are located in California.
Okay.
So I get requests from people all over the country to see me, and unfortunately, I can't do that. So I have patients who live all over the state of California. Some of them are here in San Diego, I see them in person. Some of them are in Los Angeles, the Bay Area, and all parts of California, but only in California. And I do my best to refer people out to the best provider for them if they don't live in California and I can't see them.
I love that idea though, because what we are bound by those same laws as providers, right? So I can only see people in the two states I'm licensed in, right? The idea that you have said, wait a minute, we need to create support though for these people that are in California, that these people who are across the nation, because there just isn't enough mental health support in general for people with diabetes, never mind people with type 1 diabetes.
Yeah, Natalie, I think you have a great point. I think that I want to emphasize this a little bit more is that in my experience, if there are 100 people with type 1 diabetes in a room, there are maybe two of them who need to see me or someone like me. You know, they're really struggling and they're dealing with things like fear of hypoglycemia that's really paralyzing for them, or they're omitting insulin to lose weight or things of that nature. And the other 98 people, they need something, but it's not me. And it's reading a book, it's listening to a podcast, it's talking to a friend, it's going through a guided program. And what I realize is that we have this dividing line in our minds that, you know, either I'm doing really well or I'm not. And if I'm not doing well, then I need to see a therapist. And if I'm doing well, I need nothing. And that's simply not true. Right. I think that most people with diabetes are struggling to some degree. And if they're not, they're either doing really well and I want to meet you, or you're lying. Let's be honest. But, you know, because we have ups and downs, but there are very few people who actually needed to see a therapist. Do people benefit from it? Absolutely. But there are not enough of us out there. And also people don't have the time, and it's time consuming. It's a lot of commitment. But if we can create resources at different levels of intensity for people, with certainly therapy being kind of at the more severe end, or I'm not a like the word, but you know, the more intensive end, and you know, really, you know, Instagram and LinkedIn as being at the other end, and then a lot of things in the middle, I think that we're going to do a great job, and we are doing a great job at supporting people who really need the help in the way that they need it, wherever they are.
This is really interesting because we talked with Jane Dickinson earlier about equipping the diabetes care and education specialists to kind of help with some of these mental health and so I like what you're saying. That's really interesting how, yes, there's some that really need to see you, but maybe others that at least like in our roles, we can help support in some way on their journey. So
I want to talk about that a little bit because it's like something I'm working on. So I developed a framework around diabetes and mental health. And I'll describe it briefly. It's around the salep. So if you think about your diabetes stress management part of the salep, where and there are five parts of the salep that you need to have strong in order to be able to be resilient and to deal with all of the stress diabetes goes your way. We can't make the stress go away. We need to be honest about that. But if we have these five parts strong, and those five parts are the captain, which is the person with diabetes, the whole of the book, which is their diabetes education and knowledge for themselves as well as about diabetes in general, their mindset, which is the sales, the rudder, which is their behavior, and their support team, which is the crew. If someone with diabetes has all five of those areas strong, that more likely than not, they're going to be able to deal with whatever stress diabetes throws their way. if one of those areas or more PC there or more than one of those areas is weak, then they have challenges. So I built a program that helps people assess where they are, where their weakness is and where their strength is, and then be able to focus their attention on building themselves up for the areas where they need help. On that same note, I'm also doing a certification program for diabetes coaches, diabetes care education specialists, and licensed mental health providers to teach them this framework. So that when they're seeing a patient with diabetes who's struggling, they can use this framework in their work so that they're able to support them in a really simple way and be able to narrow in where they help, refer out if necessary, but also to be able to take that on as part of their work in a really seamless manner.
Oh my gosh, I love it. How do I sign up for this?
I will
send you. People want to do this.
Okay, because
I'm like, right, because I always, like sometimes I just wish, sometimes like I wish it was a psychologist because I feel like I want to help these people. I see they're struggling in some way, but I feel like I don't have always the tools to know how to help.
Yeah, so certainly there are some challenges that a psychologist or a mental health professional needs to see. But if we can figure, if we have a framework that you can use, and people with diabetes can use to say, well, I'm feeling burnt out right now. Okay, that's great, but that doesn't really tell any of us anything. But if we're able to say, okay, you're feeling burnt out and we're able to do a simple assessment and say, the reason you're feeling burnt out is maybe because your mindset is off and you're thinking about the burden of diabetes in a way that's not very helpful. Then we have some simple tools that you can use once you focus in on where their challenge is. Burnout is the big umbrella,
right?
But their challenge is not burnout. Their challenge is their mindset or how they're behaving or their knowledge about diabetes. And once we can focus on that, then the intervention becomes simple.
And focus.
And focus.
That's really wrong.
And then people have they feel confident that they can actually build themselves up and be able to overcome that challenge, as opposed to saying, I'm feeling burned out. And we say, I'm sorry to hear that.
Great.
You know, tell me more about that feeling. I mean, that's helpful therapeutically, but it doesn't really take action and help anybody to come out of that. On the other side, you know, you two more than me, give people with diabetes a management plan. So you say, you know, your insulin ratio is this, your X factor is this, when you're low, you do this, and that's super helpful for them. What if they use the same model to give people a stress management plan? So when you're feeling this way, maybe your mindset needs to change in this way.
And then what do you do that? Right. So how do you relieve stress?
Yes.
You're going to add and go for a walk. You're going to do, read a book. You're going to do, call your girlfriends.
Yeah.
You're going to do, you know,
so tough
time away. I love it.
You have that same plan to use when your blood sugar is high, you do this.
Right.
When you're feeling burnt out or anxious, do this.
Right.
We need to have that same plan. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're developing. NASA came up with diabetes to actually develop their own plan. And providers like yourselves can also help your patients and give them that framework to develop that plan. Okay. And is it going to solve all our problems? No. But it's certainly going to make people feel more supported, make you feel more confident in your work.
Right. And also giving someone help. You know, when you look at someone and say, it'll get better over time, right? It tends to be cyclical. You know, wait till spring, the sun's going to come out again. I mean, we both practice in Cleveland, right? So it's Scottsdale. Right. It's at Fort Lauderdale, right? So some of it's like, it gets better, right? You know, go to the gym a little, but there's not, if we had a structured way to assess and then implement, that's an amazing thing.
Yeah. So my goal right now, so we're launching the program I talked about. It's a digital program. People sign up for it. They get they do an assessment. They figure out, they see where their strengths and weaknesses are. They're given content that's specific to their strengths and weaknesses, or really their weaknesses, so they can build that up. And they have ongoing support from me and my team around. You know, we have virtual coaching calls that you can come on and ask questions, get the hot seat coaching. And then then in October we're doing the certification program. Right now working on getting CEUs from ADCES as well as the National Board of Certified Health Coaches to be able to offer those to people, and then be able my goal is to train 25 healthcare providers and coaches.
Okay,
I heard that.
Well, yeah, I wanted to do that. We're gonna, so will it be virtual or will it come here?
I
could come visit you and see.
You can come to my house and we can do it from my home office.
Right, I'm coming back here in October, so
the training will be, or the didactic training will be virtual.
Okay.
We're gonna do two Thursday evenings and then two Saturday all day virtual, and then we will do monthly consultation calls.
Wow.
Okay. So that and also we'll have a private Slack channel for people who are
in the program
who are certified, so that they can get on with me. We can make sure that we are doing collaborative work and making sure that you're feeling supported. We're going to put all of the people who are certified on a page on the website so that if people are looking for a diabetes care education specialist or a coach who is certified in this process, they know where to go. And they have confidence that the person has the skills and knowledge to be able to help them in a way maybe that they don't have right now.
I love this. This is amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay, I want to switch directions a little bit and talk about your book.
Tell us
all about where did it come from? How did you,
So my book is called Diabetes Sexy Can Handle It. It was released last April, so a little over a year ago. And I've been wanting to write a book for a long time. And I just didn't know where to start. I was like, diabetes is mental health. That's not.
Right.
There's nothing there. There's too much.
Right.
And no focus. So I had a patient come to me one day. So this was probably in about 2 years ago. He sat down in my office. He's in his late teens. And he said to me, diabetes sucks. And I laughed. I said, and my response to him was what it was, but you could handle it. And then I stopped myself. I said, no. And you can handle it. And that's the title of the book is And You Can Handle It, not But You Can Handle It, very, very specifically. And after he left my office, I sat and brainstormed. I was like, this is my book.
Right.
Yeah. And what we're talking about in the book is in order to address the emotional burden of diabetes, which is very real, we have to be honest with ourselves that it exists.
Right.
And we have, and that's why I got some feedback saying, how dare you say diabetes sucks on the title, on the cover of the book? I'm like, well, it does.
Right. I'm sorry, but it does.
And if we're not talking about the reality that it does, and it always will,
right,
to a certain degree,
yes,
then we're not helping anybody.
Right.
And so we have to be honest with ourselves about the reasons why diabetes sucks. Again,
right,
the more specific, to say that generally is true. But then for me today, it sucks because my blood sugar is high. I had trouble sleeping last night.
Right.
So let's get specific, because once you're specific, you can address that issue.
Right.
On the other hand, though, we have to make sure that we're honest with ourselves on the other side.
Okay.
Because so often, and I do this myself, I live with diabetes. I don't think I mentioned this, but I had type 1 diabetes. I've had type 1 for 24 years. Sometimes we make diabetes suck more than it has to. Our mind, goes to a place where it's doom and gloom.
Right.
And we have to bring ourselves back to reality. It's like walking a tightrope. And we have to say, okay, diabetes does suck, but it doesn't suck that bad. It sucks here.
Right now in
digital. Yeah, right now. And this is why.
Right. Right.
Why.
Yep.
And once we do that, then we have the ability to handle it because we're able to contain that suck. And so the rest of the book really gives people skills that they can use
to contain the suck. Right.
Not to push it away.
Right.
But to own it. And then how do we take distress tolerance? IT psychology at its root is an exercise in tolerating the stress.
Right.
It's going to suck. It's going to be very challenging. But how can you handle that in a way that allows you to live your life? Because in the end, that's what we all want.
Right.
We all want to be able to do whatever we want to do, whether it's take our kids to the park or go surfing or skiing or scuba diving or whatever you want to do without diabetes getting in the way.
Right.
So that's what we have to focus on. And that's really what the book focuses on, helping people to learn those skills to be able to handle the fact that diabetes sucks and recognize they can handle it.
I love this. It just feels so energizing. It does. I mean, and then another thing that we talked about before we started recording today was your use of LinkedIn.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about how, I think we get bombarded from LinkedIn, and some of it is what we were both talking about. Well, some people post and there's nothing to read, right? And you said, but wait a minute, I've approached it very differently. Can you talk about how your approach to social media in general and what you're doing with that?
Yeah, so I don't care what you did this weekend with your kid. I don't care what you have. I don't care what you have for breakfast.
Yep.
But exactly. The things that I get most value out of from LinkedIn and from Instagram, the two social media platforms that I use, are people give me things that are valuable. I've done in my work, not my psychology work, but in my business work, I've gotten really interested in marketing. And how marketing is so important to message people, right, to be able to offer them something that's of value to them. And so the people that I follow on LinkedIn and Instagram that are marketers, they do a great job because they give me content that I can actually use right now.
Right.
And so my goal on LinkedIn has been to get people, especially endocrinologists, diabetes care education specialists, and people with diabetes, content that they can use. What can you do? How can I give you content today that you can use with your patients today? They can give you a boost of confidence with your work with your patients. And so what you'll find me posting is tips, mental health hacks for people with type 1 diabetes, advice, guidance, and sometimes a little bit of finger wagging at providers about how to better help their patients and better approach their patients, as well as, you know, put from my book, information about webinars that I'm running that can be valuable to them. My podcast, I try to post about my podcast and getting people, you know, access to that, you know, on LinkedIn. But my goal is to provide value. I mean, it's provide value to everybody, irregardless of whether it brings in any kind of revenue or anything. You know, that my first goal is to help people with diabetes. That means helping people with diabetes, also people who support them. And that's really my mission.
So I'm kind of curious about this finger wagging. Obviously don't name any names, but like, kind of what are some things we see that we should, or cultures we should try to change that are not helpful for people with diabetes?
Yeah, so I mean, there's so much, but I hear stories every day from people saying, you know, what would be one that I did talking about recently? I had a big one that got lots of engagement. Asking people about, you know, what happened last week with your blood sugar. I tell this story that when I was probably in my early 20s, this is one week before CGM, I remember I made up my blood sugars in the parking lot of my endo's office. Yeah. Well, because I didn't log them. Right. I checked them. I still left a log. I think I just wanted to see it. So I would draw a little chart and I would write them down. And then some pots and lows, but usually. And another one that one time I took this in her office and she says, "What happened last Tuesday?" And I had to make the story. I had to say, well, I think I had maybe some French fries for lunch and I didn't take enough insulin. I mean, I'm completely made up. The number of made up. And I walked out of that appointment. And I remember I thought to myself, I answered that wrong. I should have just said, I have type 1 diabetes. Hey, my blood sugar can go high. Sometimes there's no reason for it.
Right.
So I'm dying for it sounds simple.
Yeah.
But to say, you know, this is not the goal is not to focus on what happened last Tuesday, is to focus on helps, and more importantly, I call A1C of time and range vanity metrics.
Oh, tell me the word.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you why. Yeah. So imagine that you are an influencer on Instagram.
Yeah.
And you had 1 million followers. However, nobody was engaging with. So you go out, you say to your friends at the bar, "I have 1 million followers on Instagram," and they say, "Oh my gosh, you're so famous. You're such an influencer." But then you need to ask more questions. You say, "Well, how much money are you bringing in from brand deals?" "Well, none." "And how many people are actually been featuring their content and writing you messages?" "Well, none." "What kind of impact are you having on the world?" "None." So the 1 million followers, it means nothing in terms of this person's business, right? I think A1C and time and range, there's a similar metaphor there. And I understand the importance of them. Don't hear me wrong. But the question really is okay, your A1C is 7.5%, and your goal is 6.8%. So what? You know, for the reality of the person with diabetes, that's a number on a computer state.
Right.
What does that 6.8%, or maybe better, at 80% time in range, what does that allow for? If it doesn't allow for anything, who cares?
Right.
But if it allows me to have more energy to play with my kids, if it allows me to be more active and be able to sleep through the night, mm-hmm. then that's real. And that's
it's measurable.
Right. What's measurable, and it's going to motivate me.
Right.
You know, having a 6.5 A1C, that's great. And that does motivate me. When I have a piece of cake in front of me, I have to choose how much to bowl or whether to eat it. You know, the 6.5 A1C is not going to be the motivation.
Right.
It's going to be, if my A1C is 6.5, or the time and range, again, is 75%, that's going to allow me to do this or feel this way.
Right.
And so it's not an end, it's a means to an end. And we have to frame it that way.
Right.
So if we don't, then no one's gonna have any motivation. No one can be motivated to get that AOC, except for they're gonna get a pat on the back and a congratulations from the doctor once every 3 or 6 months. Maybe.
Right.
And in the end, that doesn't change behavior.
So that's really interesting, because we've definitely, push away from A1C, because in addition to you're calling it a vanity metric, the fact that it's an average and someone can have a ton of
it's actionable question.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we've definitely been more on board with time and range, just because at least that's kind of including variability. But it's really interesting what you said about it being a vanity metric, because while it might be more descriptive of what's going on, still the reality is it's not what does the person care about that it's
right
helping to get to. So that's a really interesting perspective.
And I ask patients all the time, I say, what why do you want it in a time range of 80% or whatever that
right, is. What is your goal?
And their goal in dairy is, I want to live a long and healthy life.
Yes.
Not helpful.
Yeah, right.
What does that mean?
Right.
And which has not to do, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do tomorrow?
What aren't you able to do?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm focusing on those behaviors that they can, if they want to do now, they feel they can't.
Right.
Or they really can't because of their time range or A1C. That's what's going to motivate you to change.
Right.
Having a goal of that. I mean, it's kind of like the same as weight loss. Okay, I want to lose weight. Well, why?
Right.
You know, and so because you keep this like vague, like, well, I want to look better. Well, to why? How is that going to help you? Right. Why would it help you? Why is that going to help you? But getting to the core of that, I mean, it really comes into back to the sailboat metaphor is the captain, you're the captain of your diabetes management sailboat.
Right.
And you have a mission that you want to accomplish. What is that mission? And the more specific you can be, and the more time limited or time constrained you can be with that, the better. Because once you have a mission, you know where you're going and know why you want to go there.
Right.
And everything else, all of these metrics, time to range, A1C, they become part of that, but they're not the end goal. The end goal of I want to, and by the way, in my mind, a mission doesn't matter what your mission is. You can want to plant an garden, or you can want to be the first person with type 1 diabetes on the moon.
Right.
They're both equally as valid. But the thing is, you're moving towards something.
Right.
And if you're not moving towards something, and the A1C or time in range becomes a pathway to get there, that's phenomenal. And that's what we want to look at. But if we say, but I want to get to a 6.5 A1C, who cares?
Right. I think it's really interesting when someone will come in and say, you're going to be so disappointed, right, in my numbers and my time in range. No, I'm not. I mean, what's going on?
Right.
Tell me about what happened in your life. Tell me where you are. Right? Why would you think I would be disappointed? This is nothing to do with my judgment of you, right? I am not here to judge you. I am your partner in this.
But now to back to the finger wagging.
I mean, yes.
But we hear.
They feel, it's almost like they're presenting with their own finger wagging. You're going to be in trouble. And that's a previous clinician.
Sometimes I think it comes from, though, someone's like, oh, you're doing so well. Some comes in and they're 80% time in range of that A1C. And some clinician has said, oh, kudos, like, the problem is then the next time when they're not, like, it also
brings them. Something tragic happened, right? They were ill. It doesn't even matter. They got a shot in the shoulder, right? I mean, all kinds of things happen where it changes your time and range.
Right.
Or you're having some diabetes distress. You know, all of those things affected. But I think we have, but I hear that, do me one lot. You're going to be so disappointed.
Well, I think what they're saying is, I'm disappointed.
Yes. Right?
And maybe they actually do say that because they do.
Right.
Or sorry, I don't mean to generalize that on endocrinologists and diabetes care specialists, but it happens.
Right.
You get this, like, you need to be doing better because if you don't, you're going to have complications.
Right.
And again, complications are, we want to prevent that, of course.
Right.
But the strategy is not to scare people.
Exactly.
And to get through this doom, it's to empower them.
Right.
And empower them in the moment.
Yeah.
One thing that I've been doing, which I hope has been helpful for people, is on Instagram every week, I've been posting my own time at range.
Interesting.
And I do this because, well, I want to humanize myself. Yeah, right. I think, you know, as a someone who has a PhD behind their name and a CDCF behind their name, I think sometimes people think, well, you have it all together. You do diabetes.
You must be 99%.
You diabetes for a living. You live with diabetes, and so you must be perfect. And people, I mean, sometimes my time range is 80%, 60%.
Right.
And I want to let people know that, yes, I do this for a living. I know a lot about diabetes, and I know how this works. But I also live it, and I have the same struggles as you.
Right.
And I have gotten so much great feedback about that process. I'm also trying to do one episode a month on my podcast. Most of my podcast is coaching people. So if you come on my podcast, I coach them using this framework. And I've also started doing once a month where I do my monthly review of diabetes. What have been the challenges I've had blood sugar-wise? What have been the challenges I've had emotionally? What are the interpersonal challenges I've had because of diabetes? And I got some great feedback about that too, because I want to humanize this as a provider. Yeah, I'm not immune to these challenges. I live them on a daily basis.
Right.
I hope that makes me even more credible.
Definitely.
I love that.
I love it. Well, thank you. I feel like we could talk to you a lot more.
But like, awesome. We're definitely going to have you again. So thank you so much again, Mark Heyman. And thank you all for tuning into this episode of Diabetes Dialogue at ADA Science Session.